Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, this is Peter from the Football Ramble. I have unfortunately forgotten to bring a copy of the Football Ramble theme tune to Johannesburg, where we are right now. So, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Down, out.
Football!
Johannesburg.
Here we are.
Indeed.
Are you talking to Johannesburg?
Yeah, he's over there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Cup Ramble coming from Johannesburg. I nearly said live there, clearly isn't.
It's live at the moment. Won't be there.
an hour out, come on. That's a delayed transmission, if anything.
Listeners, do we sound further away?
Yeah, we do.
Come back. Yeah. We are indeed in Johannesburg, and Pete Donaldson is with me.
I am, yes, in spirit, mind and body.
Yes, James or Jim Campbell.
I'm here as well, in a less committed way.
And Luke Aaron Moore.
I'm sort of somewhere in between them two.
Right.
All right.
You tend to be. Let's talk about Man Month, Pete.
Yeah, let's talk about Man Month in Johannesburg. We're in Johannesburg now as a part of Man Month. So if you get yourself still to manmonth.co.uk, you can check out, you'll be able to listen to this for one. You'll be able to listen to most of the Ramble's output during the World Cup. We've also got competitions where you can win sort of, I don't even know what's left, but there's some competitions still to be won.
Some of the prizes have been won, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
But there are some still to be won.
Yes, exactly. We've also got Ramble videos. We're going to be filming some stuff at manmonth.co.uk out here in Johannesburg, around the villa, around the fan zones and around the city and things like that.
Stuff we filmed already. Pete having an argument with the scarecrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
James meeting one of his idols. More on that later. Mm. And things like that. And it's only going to get sort of maybe a little bit better.
Worse.
We haven't even had a drink yet.
Exactly.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this
Marcus has been drinking on the sly.
Exactly.
I haven't.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. You've got to drive us around later. I've decided.
Okay.
Well, this is all in association with IGN.com and 1 million fragrance for men. So all good. Man Month took out to UK. Get there.
Cheers.
Enjoy us.
Cheers, Pete.
All right.
Enjoy all of it. Which is what we've been doing with the World Cup.
Oh, yes.
Chaps, favourite moments from really the two semi-finals.
Mm. Can I say business end?
It's the business end now.
You know it's the business end because England aren't here. That's the key indicator.
Those two semis were a strategy meeting for the final.
Mm. They really were. Yeah, they really were.
That's right. Pete?
My favourite, I've been enjoying the octopus's... He got it right again. But I like the fact that we keep on getting reports that aren't necessarily true about the octopus. Like there's sort of misinformation about the
German
octopus.
German octopus predictor.
Paul. Yes. His name's Paul. Yes. Paul.
We need to get him on. He's been spot on every time, I think.
To do with St. Pauli?
I get the impression he's probably going to be up front for St. Pauli next season.
They would embrace him.
He'd be a keeper of anything.
It would be difficult to embrace one, to be honest.
It would.
His suckers everywhere.
It'd be a keeper at any other club, but I imagine he probably will play up front for St. Pauli.
He will, but embrace of Paul the Octopus is sort of what I imagine an embrace with Peter Kenyon to be like.
A bit slimy.
Yeah, you can't really trust. What's he doing with his hands?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so he's done well. He's predicted, I believe, Spain to win the final, I believe.
Oh, has he predicted already?
Well, that's the thing,
isn't it? Yeah, because he allegedly predicted Spain in the Spanish press, but apparently he's been doing the predictions on the day of the games.
Yeah.
Then he legitimately did predict Spain and now it's come out that he's predicted Spain again. So who knows? It might be more bluffing.
I think it'll probably work out as who plays best on the pitch.
No, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Have you learned nothing?
Actually, Tim Lovejoy tweeted. We managed to check our tweets really quickly, and Lovejoy tweeted the day before yesterday, I think it was, or last night even, about Paul the Octopus, saying, "Isn't it annoying when an octopus knows more about football than you?" That's been the case for some time, Tim.
Every octopus. I'd imagine. Muscles know more about football.
I'd imagine it would be.
Yeah. Any invertebrate.
James.
I'm going to go for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's absolute screamer, against Uruguay, because he'll be retiring at the end of this tournament. This is his swan song in football, and I think that's the perfect long ranger almost. That's how you hit the Jebelani, and I love that it went in off the
Couldn't be any more top corner.
Perfect. Yeah.
The keeper had a hand on it, but like, he still couldn't
stop it. Yeah.
No, but it was one of those ones where the hand doesn't change the direction of it. The force is just so amazing. The ball just sort of slaps it aside, going, "Ha! I laugh at your efforts."
Yeah. It's sort of like one of those things that makes you think, he's got no right.
Yeah.
He's got no right.
He's a left back.
Yeah,
he winds up to hit it and you go, yeah, as if.
Well, the thing is, though, the beautiful thing about that sort of goal is that the keeper couldn't stop it. The keeper can't have a go at the defender, because the defender would turn around and say, well, if he's shooting from there, I'm doing my job properly.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just one of those things. If it goes in the top corner, tough, you know.
Let's all applaud.
Yeah,
oh no, I was talking about the whole team.
No, we're doing it. We're enthusiastic.
The
your demands.
That was kind of like a golf clap. That was
polite.
I mean, he's retiring in the next game. Although, I mean, should he just not have walked off the pitch?
That's it. Lots of Dan did. See you later, all.
Good night.
Luke.
Well, if we're going for sort of standout moments of the last couple of days, which I'm interpreting the question as,
yes, of course,
just to mould it into mine, is I'm going to go for the post-match interview. That Schweinsteiger gave after the semi-final against Spain, and he was being pretty magnanimous, as we've said before. I don't want to turn this into a sort of German loving, but as Germans tend to be, Jens Lehmann and Andreas Möller accepted
a loving being the manager's
the Spain team just led by Casillas, who's the captain, in a German shirt, just congered through the interview in between Schweinsteiger and the sponsor board.
Yeah, not
really
nice.
Intrusively.
During the interview, disgraceful behaviour.
Schweinsteiger looked upset by it.
Well, he would be.
He managed it with real sort of dignity, but it's not nice.
Well, we said this before, that the Germans are often good winners.
Mm. Yeah.
And people from Latin countries tend not to be.
Yeah.
And we've
English people aren't really that good winners either. Some of them are, but
we don't know.
maybe that's something inherent in their sort of psyche. I mean, we can't sort of criticise. Maybe that's the way to win. Win and gloat.
It's a decent point. I mean, the point, Marcus, you're absolutely right. We don't actually know, do we? So
it really is true.
We squeezed past Slovenia. That was it.
Any Slovenians? We're better than you. You were rubbish.
Tim Henman punching the air.
The Tim Henman chip and charge. But that's mine, Schweinsteiger. I felt sorry for him. He's had an excellent tournament. He's one of the world's best players, and he didn't deserve to be treated like that by some admittedly very talented Spanish players.
He's had a great tournament as well.
I'm going to go for the second Uruguay goal.
Oh yeah, lovely.
Pereira.
Can I say reminiscent of Zanetti's goal against England in 98?
You said this to me, I'm not...
it was from the same sort of position, it was worked in a similar way.
He was put into the box, and when Zanetti picked up the ball, he was pretty much one-on-one with the keeper.
And he rifled it.
Yeah,
Pereira
got the ball, and he touched it past the defender, and then side-footed it past a group of players. And it set up a really exciting last minute.
You're going to come on to this in a minute, but what were Uruguay doing in the last few minutes? I'm sure we'll get on to
that. Fell asleep.
We've got to dish out some points.
Johannesburg points. Mm. They're worth double, because you're away from home.
Do you know something?
What's the exchange rate?
James or Jim.
Well done.
Well done, James.
You happy
Jim?
With that, James?
I'm delighted with that, frankly.
Some foreign points.
Yeah. Mm. Double foreign points.
Yeah, indeed.
Need them.
If it's a draw, they will act as double.
That's right. Mm. You could win on away points. Well, let's talk about Johannesburg. We are here.
Yeah.
We had a lovely time getting here.
We did.
On South Africa Airways.
Mm.
Mm. Last couple of hours.
For all your air travel needs. Part of the Landmark Network.
Well, I'm waiting for anybody to jump in and say something.
It was a plane. We sat down for a bit. We got off the plane.
11
now
hours.
We're in Johannesburg.
Yeah. 11 bloody hours. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't that bad, though, to be fair.
I was sitting next to Marcus. Marcus put a game on the little machine in front of us.
It annoyed me. Is it one of the few times that I've really wanted to be as small as Pete? Because his chair was like a big bed. He had a blanket. He had his visor on. He was just sleeping away.
He kept watching programmes he didn't like. Yeah. And then moaning about life.
Lie to me with Tim Roth. What a shipwreck of a show.
You can turn around going, this is so rubbish. Watch another one. How many did you watch? About 5 episodes?
About that, yeah. Each one worse than the last one.
I watched the documentary that we're going to talk about later. I also watched another documentary about this guy who was used in an experiment, and they gave him like a sort of this really tough metal skeleton, and he had claws as well, and he got in this big...
You say documentary, I think that's Wolverine.
Okay, right, all right.
Was that the joke?
Shit.
you took me in.
Can I have some more points?
Can I say... can I say 1 hour ahead, a bit jet-lagged or not? No.
Not really.
One step ahead, yes.
You genuinely took me in then, James. I'm not afraid to say it. That's why he wins the points.
Dear, oh dear. We've settled very nicely into our new abode.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, one of the most interesting things is that how massive... The World Cup presence has been. Yeah.
Even in the first day.
As much as, you know, everyone sort of, you guys all look up to me as a sort of sage when it comes to football and stuff. And that's a serious point, Pete. But I'd never been to a country when there's been a World Cup happening before. Mm. And it really has sort of infiltrated every part of life here.
With just one match two matches ago, sorry.
Everywhere you look, everything's got like football branding on it.
Flags
kids
of every nation.
Yeah,
all
flags
over the
everywhere.
Roads.
They've got these little wing mirror sort of covers on. The South African flag. Mm. It's everywhere. It's genuinely great. It's
all of the FIFA's job's done.
It has, yeah.
All of the buildings, like the dirty sort of what do you call them? Sort of office buildings.
Yeah.
They've all been covered in sort of like a wrapping. Sort of
wrapping.
It's very weird.
That was the Ramble Court.
Yeah.
We should really try and go to the FIFA court.
That'd be amazing.
John Barnes was into football wrapping, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Hey.
Thanks very much.
He did it all. That's what he's doing there. Yeah.
Avila's interesting as well because we've got some unconfirmed creature that seems to live on the roof.
I think it's Sepp Blatter. He knows what
He's trying to get us.
Yeah. It just keeps sort of falling over, doesn't it? It seems like a very clumsy animal, whatever it is.
We've got chickens, we've got ducks.
Yeah.
I found a taser.
Yeah.
Threatening people.
It's more of a cattle prod, really.
Yeah. It is. It's a big machine, it is.
Just down the road from where we stand, there's a FIFA headquarters. It's got FIFA flags everywhere. It says, I think it might be a FIFA court.
Well,
I saw Aaron Mokawena coming out of there. No, not really. Amazing.
Oh, dear, oh dear.
Yeah, nice little moment earlier as well. We had to go to a hotel lobby, didn't we, to pick up some internet.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a problem here. And I met Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
That was nice.
He just strolled in.
He did.
We were sitting there.
The arrogance. The arrogance.
Who does he think he is, Pete?
in the biggest sort of pumpy shoes. They've got like little sort of air bubbles in
there.
Magnificent.
Well, the way I knew... bottoms on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
And casual Wenger. Yeah.
He should be dressing for dinner, really. it's a very nice hotel. And the reason I know that Arsene Wenger walked in is because I looked down, there was like a pool of urine under James's seat.
Yeah.
Where he got so excited.
I didn't think about holding it in.
I couldn't get his autograph.
Yeah, I turned into Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he looked like he was on some sort of reasonably sort of high level meeting with
Luke is convinced he was talking to an agent.
No,
not an agent.
A chief scout. I think it's a scout.
Chief scout.
They were looking at pieces of paper with diagrams on them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of photos of me as well.
Yeah.
I found it weird that he was talking to that man, and then when I went to the toilet, came back, and he just sort of moved. Wenger just got up, went to the other side of the room and just sat down by himself.
But a Japanese journalist came down and sat with him after that.
Right.
Yeah. But you know that I did see a piece of paper and it had a picture of you on it, released by AFC Ashdod, currently unattached. Can get on a free.
Keeps ringing a void.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard I don't sign older players.
But it was also can play in the hole, doesn't really mix well with others, so should get on with RVP.
Oh dear. Right, well, let's talk about the football then, Pete.
No, let's talk about the fine lobby in Johannesburg. After the party, it's a hotel lobby. That's what you try
bit
to
of
do
R. Kelly there. From Pete there.
Yeah.
Always welcome.
No.
Not welcome, okay.
He did the official
control back.
He did the official World Cup song, didn't he? R. Kelly, apparently.
No,
I haven't
Shakira,
heard it.
Wasn't it?
That was our Shakira.
I hope R. Kelly's one was just like another bit of Trapped in the Closet.
Going
to the World Cup, don't really know what it is.
We all know that Kanan's one's surely the official one.
Kano, isn't it?
Him, right, Kanan. Marcus Speller in the airport, right? we were waiting for, what airline did we fly with?
I just said it.
South African Airways, sorry. So this man, who was presumably of South African descent, certainly of African descent, in the Heathrow, basically Marcus walks up to him and sings the ITV theme tune.
He was excited about going
sing,
away.
Sing Africa! What is that? The man
said.
No, what is that? The man said. That, you did a racist attack. That's all I'm saying.
The pen's down. you watched a lot of episodes of Lie to Me as well. Which you just have. Okay? That's not true. I was singing to you, give me freedom.
Oh, one. Right. Okay.
I was singing to you, and then he looked at me, interrupted my singing.
You
went,
panicked.
What is that? And I said, that's Kanan. And he went, oh, right. And then I burst into Sing Sing Africa. Maybe he appreciated that more.
You did it right in his face.
Yeah.
Did he deserve
experience?
It was like me going to Australia and fly, I'm a kangaroo, guys. No, it isn't. It kind of
is. Did you go to him? Go, Bafana, Bafana!
Get me on this plane! Yeah.
And then we both ran off and did Roger
no, a choreographed celebration.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
And here we are.
Anyway, sooner or later we are going to have to talk about football.
Well, we're going to do that now.
Okay.
Now Pete, stop lying.
Yeah. Well, it's essentially true, isn't it? Yeah. What you said.
No, it wasn't. In a different order.
It was incorrect. Holland beat Uruguay 3-2, and now in the final, first time they've been in a final since 1978. Mm-hmm. Nearly said 74 there. Mm. Which also they were in the final, but 78 was the last one. And Van Bronckhorst scored one of the goals of the tournament,
undoubtedly.
Although Uruguay, I felt sorry for them, I have to say.
The thing was, it was interesting because there was clearly a backlash against Uruguay for the Ghana exploits. Mm. But then, I know what you mean. You can't get away from the fact that Uruguay play pretty exciting football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you get into a game, when you're watching them, you can't help but start to sort of cheer for them because they play so well and their style's really fluid. Yeah. And Holland aren't a side that they have been. They're much more sort of defensive, more counter-attacking.
They're a bit more boring, really.
They are. And yeah. But one of the things...
Than they normally are.
When they got it back to 3-2, I think it was posted as 3 minutes injury time, but because of the goal, it went to about 5.5 minutes. Yeah. And they kept passing it back to the keeper.
Odd.
Who I know can probably lump it further than anyone else, but literally he can only lump it. If you've got the ball on the halfway line, at least you can clip a ball in reasonable accuracy rather than getting the keeper just to lump it. And I think they really missed a trick there. Because Holland were, like you said, Holland were panicking.
Yeah.
I think Uruguay have been really, really great in this World Cup. They've been a standout feature of it. Also, obviously, Suarez wasn't playing in the semi, but I think Suarez and Forlan are a real strike partnership that work very well together and complement each other very well. And that is quite a rare thing, you know, when you get your Romario and Bebeto.
There aren't many partnerships around.
Yeah, and I think there generally aren't. It's hard to pick a lot out. It's a very special thing when it works. And it was nice to see that they've sort of developed that.
I've massively enjoyed the Suarez, Forlan and Cavani interchanging because Forlan drops very deep and Cavani moves forward when he does it, and it does work really, really well, and it's difficult for defenders to defend against.
What is it?
I thought Forlan had a pretty decent choice, and instead of sort of I think he sort of placed it across the goal and he sort of missed. I would have just liked to have just blasted that.
I mean, the thing was, Pete, is that because Suarez didn't play, Forlan couldn't do his usual thing of dropping in deeper. Yeah. He had to lead the line a bit more, didn't he? And I think that it did hinder them a little bit.
His goal was from far out, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. The keeper might have done better.
Yeah.
Schneider, another lucky goal, probably not his, Pete.
Well, he seems to be he's on five. Move, isn't he?
The mellow one is ridiculous.
But it's not Schneider's goal.
Yeah, the one against Japan was very, very lucky. It was very speculative.
Well, no, but that was his goal.
Oh yeah, yeah, but still he's had a lot of luck with it. Let's not take away anything from Schneider because he is having a good tournament.
You think he's having a bit of an overrated tournament? You think he's not doing as well as everyone says?
I think he's having a good tournament, but people will put him up there for player of the tournament. I think someone like Schweinsteiger or Forlan have had better
Terry.
Tournaments. Yeah. I think Schweinsteiger has been slightly overrated to the point of people been going on about him so much. Clearly he's played well. But
Marcus,
I don't think
if Schwein sort of carries on this way, he might even secure himself a sort of move to the top four in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, and then he can really call himself a professional footballer.
Yeah,
which would probably
exactly,
be nice for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And for the German national team to have a player like that in their squad,
they'd love it.
That'd be better than winning the World Cup, I think.
And then on paper, maybe they can challenge us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which is where all the best football is played.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm a brilliant footballer on paper. I'm world class.
I'm great at Sabutio.
Yeah, it counts. Van Bommel's a nasty piece of work.
Not only should he, but he should be in prison. he's picked up one booking.
If you get enough bookable offences, like to degree he's had, it should add up to jail time.
He is. Odds on for a red card in the World Cup final.
The thing was, when he finally did get booked, he was like, "What? Are you joking?"
Yeah, but I think
did you say all the other shit I did?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was booked for dissent, wasn't it?
It's crazy.
He should have been sent off early on.
Okay. He shouldn't have been in the game. He was a disgrace in the final minutes of the Brazil game.
Well,
he's lucky to be on the pitch.
Did he get booked in the Brazil game?
No, he didn't.
See, he shouldn't be playing in the final. He should have been booked against Brazil, and then he should have been sent off against Uruguay early on. But if not sent off, then certainly booked not long after that. Certainly not in the final minute.
Yeah.
You know, again, would he have been on the field? And he's fortunate to be playing in the final, really. I mean,
he's a real hatchet man, Van.
But I mean, he's a good player as well, but it's such a shame that he's come out as this nasty bloke.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And because I think when... remember a number of years ago, you'll remind me of how many it was, when he scored that absolute bomb against England.
Against England, yeah. Yeah, 2001.
Yeah, long time ago. But he's obviously lost a bit of, lost a yard.
Alties.
He plays much deeper now, doesn't he? He's much more of like a hatchet man now.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's very solid player.
A little bit older, a little bit older. So it's between a few players for the golden shoe. Schneider, Villa, four lands on four and closers on four, whereas the other two are on five.
Yeah, Closer obviously going to be playing in the third place.
Yeah, I'd like Villa or Forlan.
I think Villa's been the standout striker. I think for me above Forlan, because he's really dug Spain out on a couple of occasions.
He has, yeah.
He's just been phenomenal.
Well, let's talk about Spain, Germany. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it was an English goal a header from a corner.
The influence.
So yeah,
it was a decent header as well. Yeah.
So once again, you know, we've influenced the world game there. Mm.
And yes, FIFA, we will give you a referee for the final. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
On paper, we've got the best referees.
Yeah, no, it was a great header from Carlos Puyol, who made a good old run.
Timed perfectly.
Boom. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
The marking was non-existent, though.
Yeah, although after the game, apparently he came out of the shower. He just had a little white towel around him. And he came out and was greeted by the Queen of Spain, who congratulated him. And he was kind of like, hello.
I'm Catalan.
Yeah. a bit better than Pavlos Joseph or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I'm just looking for the toilet. By the way, you're a disgrace.
Queen of Spain wasn't so harsh.
And don't forget the pro Cassano pitch invader after 3 or 4 minutes in.
Well, of course, Mario Farai. Who he streaked during the Netherlands Italy friendly?
Yeah, he
back in November that was.
Yeah, do you know the reason behind that?
That was because he was telling Lippi that he wanted Cassano on the team.
And apparently the equivalent of what he had written on his shirt this time was basically "I told you so."
Yeah. Why has he left it that late?
Yeah, it's an odd choice.
It would have had more impact after the Italy Slovakia game.
So is Mario Farì one of these like professional streakers? Pitch invade.
He jump.
Yeah, like that guy or not? Is he?
I've no idea.
No, maybe not.
What's happened to him then? Is he okay?
He's been banned from every ground in Italy till 2018.
Wow,
that is hard. Jump or that guy?
No, Mario Farì. Jimmy Jump Spanish? No.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Or is he Portuguese? No, well, Spanish. Of course, he loves Barcelona, doesn't he?
But but that was. I mean, that was very early on, and he had a vuvuzela as well. Great stuff.
It's a nice vuvuzela.
FIFA probably let him on with that in mind.
Yeah.
One last hurrah. We can sell a few more.
So why don't I just write FIFA on it in marker pen?
That's it.
But I mean, I think that Germany looked, to me, looked best first half, and Spain really came into it.
Spain really started to zip the ball around and create chances like we know they can.
They really did play some beautiful creative football in the German's box.
Pedro right at the end, what he was doing, he should have just touched it to Torres.
Huntelaar-esque.
Villa, and he was furious at him, wasn't he?
Torres was over.
They like their 1-0 leads, don't they? They just like the record of we only need to score one
But to be fair to Pedro, he probably thought, it's Torres, he's going to miss it.
They probably think it's quite fun, don't they? Right, well, 1-0 up, lot on the line, come on, get the ball, see if you can get the ball.
Oh dear. Well, in the final there will be Howard Webb officiating.
Most important person on the pitch, so we win
again.
That's it. It's the first Englishman to referee a final since Jack Taylor in 1974.
We
believe
are grasping at big old refereeing straws, aren't we?
We've not even got a good pedigree refereeing for.
I can show you. Apparently, he's not awarded a penalty or shown a red card throughout these.
That's encouraging.
The three matches he's been in charge of.
Yeah.
He did well to qualify, Webb, so, you know, he had a strong qualifying campaign. I think his hard work is paying off.
It's nice to see a Yorkshireman in charge of a World Cup final. I don't care what anybody says.
How do you know? Wait and see.
Well, on paper.
Yeah.
It was a great shot of him being interviewed on South African television. I'm working on the old South African accent. Luke's already got bored of it.
But we all keep doing it in a place where you should really probably not do that.
One of the things is that Pete's is bored because he uses it so much. Jim isn't regular. Marcus is absolutely excellent.
Is
Yeah, go on.
No. That's because I live in West London.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But we saw Howard Webb on South African television, and it was nice to see him on a foreign television. It was great, the sort of... He had a South African
presenter.
And a Ghana scarf.
Yeah. And he just went on to sort of go...
But every shot, every time the camera panned back to him, he was sitting in a different position.
Yes.
Wasn't he? 1 minute he was to the left of the big screen behind him, then he was to the right, and then he was in the middle.
Yeah. He was just sort of going, and the England, he was really sticking the boot into England wonderfully. So, and they were lauded by their bigoted and prejudiced press in England. Yeah. Like, whoa! But this is wicked.
The thing is, he was spot on.
Yeah. But he actually said, the overhyped and underrated England stars.
Overrated.
The overhyped, overrated England stars were subject to abuse from the prejudiced and bigoted press.
But he said it in this really sort of casually factual way, which I think is fair. And it's really, really interesting to see how the rest of the world has viewed our players and that they're so aware of how press have reacted.
But he said it so beautifully and so calmly as well. You just thought,
moving your seat around as he said it.
I'd like to think someone dragged him and he said to get out.
Well, if Andy Gale wasn't so fat, they could probably move him around.
It's open for debate. Yeah. I am very pleased, though, that we're not going to hear any ITV or BBC commentary during the World Cup because they, and this, just to be warned, people, they will go on about how we're being English all the time.
Till the cows come home.
And it will be embarrassing for any English people.
Till the cows get a red card.
Well, it's embarrassing because, and it's one of those things, they have to find a way of shoehorning England into it. So the English goal thing, that's just really, if someone from overseas, from a country who's actually good at football, came to England and heard that, they'd just be crying with love. You know, well, because no one else scores goals from set pieces. It's ridiculous.
It's totally, isn't it? I'll tell you, I used to work at ITV, right, so I used to be able to see the complaints that came in every time there is football on. And I don't doubt that this still happens, whether it be an international match, an FA Cup match, a Champions League match, whatever is on, there are complaints about Tilsley the next day. Every single time.
How weird.
I don't know how the man's in a job.
Well, the World Cup's obviously nearly at an end. But you'll be pleased to know that the website beautifulpeople.com have named their 11 most beautiful World Cup players.
Oh. Isn't there 11 most beautiful and 11 least beautiful?
There is indeed.
Oh, good.
I shall list the beautiful
Which
ones
one am I on?
First.
Which one am I on? I'm on both.
You're not a World Cup player.
Okay. I'm on paper.
Whereas a list of players.
Exactly. I still wouldn't be on it.
Okay, this is their top 11. I don't think it's in any order.
No. Well, it is Fabio Cannavaro's in goal, if it is.
Fabio Cannavaro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I preferred him with hair, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Although Pepe stole his hair.
Although, hasn't his career been terminated or something?
Goodbye, Fabio Cannavaro.
John Champion?
Yeah. Forever! Your career has been terminated!
Well, he's popped up on Beautiful People, so up yours, Champion.
Yeah, and John Champion's notable by his absence.
Yeah. So. Fernando Torres, I prefer him with long hair. Yeah, I think you'll all agree. Yeah. David Villa?
Good looking lad, not
like
my type.
Sexy hedgehog.
He scores good looking goals.
I don't like his little beard thing.
Little touch of the
If Rocker Santa Cruz isn't in this, I'm leaving. I'm actually leaving.
Landon Donovan.
Landy
I'm
cakes.
Not having that.
No. I am.
No. Too much forehead. And that's not just because of his hairline.
The anti Steven Gerrard.
Yeah. I think Thierry Henry.
Good looking lad.
Yeah, fair enough.
What was that thing? He's modelled. He's modelled.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing about Thierry Henry is he's arguably not really been at the World Cup. Yeah.
Cavani, Uruguayan player.
Oh, Edison Cavani.
That's an odd choice, I think.
He's his sort of long hair. He's the new Ginola, really.
Long hair.
Very naughty.
Kaká, Brazil. Standard.
Kaká,
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. He's always going to be in there.
He's next too fat.
Well, what's he called? Is his son?
His son is called Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Yeah. obviously.
Modest.
Didier Drogba.
No.
Not having that at all.
No.
Drogba's not an unattractive man, though, surely.
I think he is.
Well, we disagree.
Yeah,
he's not an attractive man, but I mean, I think he'd be more iconic. He'd be in my iconic camp.
Mm. he's obviously got a
which
agony
mean,
on
weekend
column now, hasn't he?
He's got you can see his Dear Didier agony column.
Yeah, Man Month UK.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the latest video.
Yeah, he's helping you with your problems.
Yeah,
yeah. Didier Drogba over Roque Santa Cruz.
I'll do me a favor.
Absolutely,
that's absolutely ridiculous.
Honda for Japan.
Roque Santa Cruz is better looking than I know. Just to put that into perspective,
you don't know that many.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
You really need to have a chat with yourself at some point.
So yeah, Honda for Japan.
I like him.
I like his hair.
He's a bit of a pin-up.
You love Japanese hair, don't you?
Yeah. I think I've got Japanese hair.
I think we all like Japanese.
You have 1930s German hair.
No, I do not.
Pietler. Yeah. Anyway, and lastly, our very own David James.
Again, modelled.
Yeah.
Move on. He's modelled.
So we've got the ugly,
who are we to judge?
The ugly 11. Wayne Rooney.
Standard.
Winner.
Oh, he's got nice eyes.
Yeah, he's won something.
He does have nice eyes.
He does have nice eyes. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
Frank Ribery.
Well, I think that's harsh, though.
Well, no, but Frank Ribéry would be an absolute munter without the scar on his face.
Well, the next one's going to be Tevez, and that's harsh as well.
Carlos Tevez.
Yeah. It's,
yeah, no, but same again.
They're all scarred men.
Yeah. Carlos Tevez is apparently ugly because he accidentally pulled some boiling water in his face.
It's because he looks
kid.
Like some sort of howler monkey, scar or not.
We need to get a Photoshop of him without scars to see what he actually looks like.
That's Photoshop, so he looks beautiful.
Vladimir Stojkovic.
He looks like Ian Brown.
Serbian keeper. Yeah, I don't think that's a bit harsh. Benjamin... Huggel?
I can't remember what he looks like.
Switzerland, no.
These are all teams... Hang on. These are all teams that didn't particularly... aren't one of the big... Because we've got Spain, USA, France for the winners, Portuguese, Ivory Coast. These are all massive teams. And these are all the teams that wouldn't necessarily be doing
Yeah, like John Terry, England, number 9.
John Terry's in there. Ryan Nelson's in there.
That's harsh.
That's harsh.
Ryan Nelson, I'll tell you
and
now.
And Lager as well for Denmark.
He's a notable New Zealander. He's their best player.
Exactly. And he's better looking than Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's almost like this has come from some horrible, snobby elite website,
yeah. Exactly. This is the Football Rambler. You're bringing you the hard hitting news stories that matter.
That website where you have they screen you, don't they? Basically, you
beautiful people, beautiful bastards.
Yeah, let's not give them the traffic.
Steady,
shallow bastards. Exactly. None of us are saying that because we definitely wouldn't get in.
Absolutely. Okay, we mentioned Ribéry and Carlos Tevez. There, I've got an email.
Go on.
Mentioning both of them.
Ooh.
Rambleforth. While sat in the bar last week, me and some mates started to discuss what would be the worst possible pair of people to be sandwiched between on a long haul flight. I feel quite strongly that it would have to be Terry Christian and Chris Moyles. I'd want to chew off my own face to use as earplugs to prevent their northern drawl from melting my brain.
That's all harsh. Right.
Northern, come on.
Yeah, I quite like Terry Christian.
Yeah, I do.
I reckon he's got a story or two.
He's terrible on TalkSport.
Not a fan of Moyles. I'd probably put Piers Morgan in instead of Christian.
God. I'd chew on. I'm a big fan of Bill Tonga in Johannesburg. Yeah. I'd chew off Moyles' cheeks.
The thing is about Chris Moyles and Piers Morgan wouldn't be that bad because they would just talk about themselves and you could just turn
insufferable, surely. Okay, anyway, this led me to think about what would be your worst football sandwich, possibly between Frank Ribéry and Carlos Tevez and not being the looker. What would irk the force on a long-haul flight? Keep rambling. He's also sent an addendum to this, which says, did you choose Rambleforth Ho as an overture to the Thundercats because one of your number looks like Snarf? Yes, you, Beardy. That's from Dan in Shanghai.
Right, we're not doing this email.
We are, because I decided.
Actually, I think your father looked like Lino, not Snarf. I think someone emailed him with Rambleforth Ho.
Maybe Mumra.
Yeah, possibly. Yes, actually, I can even remember the name of the person who emailed it in first
time. What was his name?
Ramble listener Chris McHugh. You're still listening, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Kenyon's got to be in there, isn't he?
Peter Kenyon.
Kenyon would be insufferable.
Without a doubt.
Mm. Kenyon and Blatter.
Terry.
Kenyon and Blatter discussing how brilliant they think
Jack Warner.
Jack Warner.
The reason because of Jack Warner is because you wouldn't be safe to fall asleep.
I've got a worse one. I've got it. In between John Terry and a really fit bird.
John Terry and Wayne Bridge would be quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. That would be. But you'd be a bit awkward, wouldn't you? Mm. I'd try to watch the film, chaps. You know, take it another somewhere else.
Maradona.
You're hitting me by accident
here. He'd need two seats.
He would, yeah. Maradona
would.
No, not now.
No, you reckon?
Not now.
I think he'd still need a hefty. He'd have a cot, I reckon.
Speaking of Maradona, we talked about on the train. We didn't get a train. Would have taken ages. We got a plane and we watched In the Hands of the Gods.
Yes,
on the plane, indeed. And that was a documentary about five freestyling football kids, like from England, different parts of England, who flew to New York, blagged a flight to New York with no money, and travelled all the way down through America.
Well, that was their aim, is to travel through the Americas to try and end up in Buenos Aires to meet Maradona. Yes. But just busking while freestyling. Mm.
It's really incredible that they managed to blag their flights for that as well, wasn't it? Mm. Which is a great achievement.
I won't tell you what happens at the end, but sorry, go on.
Well, I saw a documentary about a man with steel sort of talons.
Well,
I
think you'll find that's Wolverine, the film.
Oh, Wolverine.
Oh, I've done it again.
Oh, no. Loki Moore.
Freddy Krueger.
Maybe.
What is it called?
It's called In the Hands of the Gods. Yeah. We would all strongly recommend it.
I mean, it was released a few years ago. But it's definitely worth a turn.
Well, it's really interesting the way that the guys in it interact with each other, and their own personal stories are brought out very, very well.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's
and they really are. It sounds like a cheesy phrase. They're like bonded by their ability to be brilliant at football skills, which they all are. You know, one of them especially is unbelievably good.
Unbelievably good.
And it definitely is my film of the week.
I kept on looking over and watching Marcus while I was watching Lie to Me, of course, with Tim Roth. But I was, I was looking
you
over
did.
And watching.
Were you checking for lies from Spatial Tips?
You just saw my face and you thought, he's digging this.
Yeah, he is.
And he really is.
I bet you wonder where I've gone.
Oh.
Wait, hang on a minute.
Jealous.
Yeah.
Is it time for Diego Corner?
Well, judging by the fact that I'm not around the table anymore, and I am in fact in the Ego Corner, which I've set up myself in the corner of my bedroom.
I've got a sound effect.
There he is.
Hello.
Now we're on. Right, so we weren't sure if there would be anything going on in Diego Corner.
Well, don't be so naive, Marcus.
They're obviously at the tournament now. Diego's probably taking a well-earned break.
He got a good reception.
Hasn't most of his life been a well-earned break?
Sort of, yeah. Mm. Sort of. And but anyway, I thought I'd just chop me a few bits and pieces around Diego because it's proven a reasonably popular feature and I wouldn't mind keeping it going. And let's face it, it's not the worst thing we've done, so.
That's a cool
But
phrase.
A legislator in Argentina called Juan Cabandi has suggested...
Sorry, what?
Juan... Okay. Cabandi
right.
has suggested that the country erect a statue in honour of Diego Maradona.
If they don't have one, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an odd thing.
It's outrageous.
If you don't have one, why not choose a horrific, humiliating defeat 4-0 in the World Cup to erect one?
Yeah.
But Cabandi went on to say, the Argentine people have shown that when it comes to Maradona, the result is not important.
No.
He's got a job for life.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable. And just as a little extra to that,
various football clubs have shown that with Gary Megson. Yeah, as well,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, Wesley Snyder wasn't very happy about Maradona.
What?
He pipes up the other day, just apropos of nothing, for no reason.
And it wasn't this to do with his manager? They
Yeah, he was asked about his manager, yeah. But
Dutch just, manager.
He said, I prefer a calm coach on the bench like Bert van Marwijk rather than an idiot like Maradona or Dunga.
Oh my goodness.
Ouch. Dunga.
You can't call Dunga an idiot.
He dresses like one, but that's about it. Yeah.
He's like sort of like one of those savants that are really, really clever, but they dress so bad.
Yeah, they can't socially interact.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all for me from Diego Corner. So I'll just take everything. I've taken the bunting down now.
Smash it up. Don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
There we are.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, marvellous. Well, you're back just in time. For a Nigeria update.
Excellent. Are you in Nigeria Corner?
Well, I wouldn't like to box myself there. But we've been talking about Nigeria on the show, how they, good luck Jonathan, the president of Nigeria, banned the team 2 years from international competition.
Didn't Sepp Blatter say, you can't ban yourself because I'm going to ban you if you do?
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. However, good luck has told it differently. Mm. I'm on first name terms with him.
Yeah. Mm.
He reckons that it wasn't so much FIFA's threat of banning them from all international competitions, which they were going to do themselves anyway. He said that apparently he's on Facebook. Good luck, Jonathan. He has more than 76,000 viewers or followers. Sorry.
Yeah.
And he said that the hundreds of posts on his Facebook page helped to persuade him to reverse his suspension of the national football team. He said, "I have listened to your voices." Not really, he's read your messages probably more accurately.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, I've taken them into the account in the government's decision to rescind the suspension of Nigeria from international football.
I think it's more of a convenient excuse to realise that he's done something pretty stupid.
Who is this president of a country who sits about on Facebook all day making rash decisions about the national football team? Yeah.
I just think it's good for the people because he's going to want more Facebook friends, more like places with electricity,
exactly.
Not so much kind of like...
Well, apparently he's only been on Facebook a couple of weeks.
Oh, he's given it the big one.
And he's already got 76,000
Oh, it's
followers.
MySpace account though. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dwindling.
Who follows him on Twitter though?
What is more worrying is this... equation. I think perhaps the president of a country is swayed by people posting comments on Facebook.
I bet Paul the Octopus has got more fans than that on Facebook.
Do you reckon?
I'm going to check it out later.
Well, we can but speculate.
Well, it's obviously a good thing. And like I said, Sepp Blatter did effectively say, if you choose to ban your team, we're going to ban you. Which is just very odd.
Mm.
Very odd.
Well, he's got to enforce the rule, though, even if it does make him sound stupid. Which is always encouraged as well. So
he's never shied away from a man making himself sound stupid, though, has he?
Pete, are you going to maybe post something on Good Luck's page to try and influence some decision in Nigeria?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a massive vested interest if I'm completely honest, Mark.
Never stopped you before.
I was going to say, why don't you send him a message saying, oh, I've got lots of money and here's, give me your bank account details.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Get your own back.
Pretty annoyed about the state of a lot of the parking facilities in Nigeria.
A lot of my cars are on fire.
Or you could call him a Dundee United.
Yeah, that would work, yeah.
There you go.
Have you got an email, Pete?
Yeah, I have.
Go on, then.
Shall I read it, then?
Yeah, don't right, you stand then. There.
My first Johannesburgian email.
Yeah. Let's hope it's not your last.
Yeah. It's from a man by the name of... Oh, my days, I can't possibly pronounce that. Have a go, Marcus.
Trygvi Christensen. No, that's
Christensen.
Christensen's definitely the second name.
Yeah.
Trygvi.
I think he's from Iceland.
He knows who he is.
Basically.
He's the only emailer called Christensen from Iceland this week. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Apologies for that, Christensen.
He's emailed before. He's a Southampton fan.
Right. Is he? Oh, okay. Well, he starts the email with the now quite useful Ramble Force Ho.
Oh.
Say it, Hofuzela.
Yeah.
I was listening to your Monday podcast when Marcus said in response to no one saw that coming with regards to the Germany-Argentina game, didn't they? Which was met with more laughter. I was, however, one of the people who did see it coming.
You see?
2 days before the game, I had a dream, and before you ridicule me, this was an actual dream. I told my dad over dinner that I had a dream wherein Germany beat Argentina 4-0.
Really?
He, being a particular big hater of German sports teams, said that this was probably an omen that Germany would lose heavily. This was not some dream that which you remember a couple of hours later. I actually woke up in the middle of the night and for a few seconds was absolutely convinced that the Germans had beaten Argentina 4-0. I took a look at the odds of a 4-0 victory after the game, not having believed what I had just witnessed, and to my joy, it was 75-1.
Oh, did they get some money on it?
Unfortunately, I am not a gambling man.
Oh,
Mr. Shame. Christiansen.
Dear, oh dear.
Well, the lesson there is that gambling is a good thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Only when you've had an outrageous dream.
Yeah.
And up in Iceland, I imagine that's a huge amount of money, 75 to 1, whatever you put on it.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. I'm fortunate, but I mean, we believe him.
Oh, yeah. He should believe in his dreams.
Yeah, he should. Yeah.
Should follow his
financially
dreams.
Financially believe in your dreams.
Follow your dreams.
See what I've done there.
No, yeah. But
don't you?
Yeah.
The irony being that if he was a properly gambling man, he probably would have taken his gambling more seriously and thought, well, I'm not going to bet on something just in a dream. Mm. I'll have a look at it sort of logically and stuff. Yeah. And
I'm not taking that 37-year-old centre-back who's never played for Argentina before to the World Cup on the strength of a dream.
No, exactly.
You might say
who then
similar situation.
Who then hardly featured at all.
Yeah. Speaking of dreams, I'm sleeping with Luke at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
you are.
And I'm also taking anti-malarial, so because we might be going on safari a little bit later on, so I'm hoping to have a really sort of epic dream where I wake up and I'm strangling.
And I'm dead.
Yeah. I thought you were worried that Lee might sting you. That's why you're taking
malaria. Imagine a big mosquito with Luke's face.
So my malaria is dormant October to May. So
okay,
so you're right. Good. Well, that's it.
That's it. The first Johannesburg episode.
Johannesburgian.
The Johannesburgian episode is done.
Yeah.
And what a joy it was for me. I don't want to put, words in anybody else's mouths, but if you enjoyed it, then I'm over the moon by that.
No, it's like an acceptance speech.
Yeah.
If anyone else did enjoy it, then you don't care because you enjoyed it anyway.
Luke.
Yes, well, just to echo, as is the custom these days, Pete's opening statement, or gambit, about Man Month. Still get yourself over there. Very good video, anchored, directed, and written by Pete up there at the moment. It's called Dear Didier. It's a bit of a take-off of Deirdre's photo casebook.
Which Marcus is so middle-class, he'd never heard of.
You see, you're slagging me off that I didn't know some silly comic strip in the Sun.
It's not a comic strip, it's very important.
We have been together. We have been together for 2 days. We don't normally see this much of each other.
No.
And the tempers are starting to fray a little bit. Let's see what happens in the next podcast.
We haven't heard of George and Lynn either, so that was a silly cartoon.
That's the Sun, isn't it, again?
Yeah, to be fair, I actually quite admire him.
Thank you for it.
I'd be happy. To have that space in my brain for something else.
Yeah. Man Month. So, I mean, we're there till the end of the World Cup. This is the penultimate show on Man Month. So, a Monday show, and we do it post World Cup final, and we'll be the final show. Don't forget, if you've discovered us through Man Month, or you want to continue listening after we finish the Man Month sort of sponsorship and period, then subscribe to us over at iTunes or thefootballramble.com. But at the moment, manmonth.co.uk, 1 million frigates for men, and the IGN network.
Marvellous. And of course, if you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and our website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke. And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to watch a documentary on Wolverine. Ta-ta.
Down.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.